Welcome to the Love My Renovation Project, where we discuss any and all things regarding renovation projects, whether they're FHA, 203K, the home style, just to name a couple, or any of the seven other renovation loan products that are out there. Now, there seems to be a great deal of consultants thinking that there's no work for them because they are just saturated. There's too many consultants in an area. There are never too many good consultants in an area. Yes, some areas are saturated with consultants that don't have a clue. They can't figure out exactly what to do. They don't know how to market their services. That's a shame because there is so much work out there. Don't worry about marketing your services until you understand what you're supposed to do. Consultants are supposed to help that client build a scope of renovation, okay, an SOR. So once you do that, then you've got to price it. And if you're not doing that, you're not a consultant. You don't deserve the same fees that the rest of the consultants that are doing that are getting. So it'll catch up with you sooner or later. So you better learn what you're doing. Home Tech Services is a great way to start. If you get on their service and decide to get one of their books, they are costly. They're expensive. They're pricey. But if you use your checkout code is my team. That's all capitals, MYTEAM, all one word. You'll get a 20% discount. That's at least $30. Okay. So if you'd like to be this part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008 and ask your renovation questions. Share a project. If you're a consultant, you want to talk about something you had that was interesting and might be interesting to our other consultant listeners, feel free. Well, most 203Ks and other type of renovation loans go off without a hitch. From time to time, the homeowner may find themselves with nobody to talk to. Everybody seems to be piling up against them. Their consultant isn't helping. Their lender just doesn't want to hear it. Remember, the lender's job was to make that loan. Period. End of story. The guy's gone to make another loan. That's how he makes his money. He's no longer involved up front, typically. Some of them will get in there and fight for you a little bit, but that's not going to happen very often. So just get in there, realize it. If you need someone to talk to, go to 203k911.com and let us know about your problem. We'll see if we can't help you. If you don't mind talking about it on the air, please call us and talk to us about it on the air. We're happy to do that. Okay, if you've got a topic you'd like to discuss more in specific terms and you don't want to be on the radio, go to 203k911.com, scroll down to the message center, and send us a message. And we'll give you a call or tell you when you can call us. So let's go ahead and get right into it today. Some questions that came in and come in regularly. Can I do the work on my 203K project? Can I do the work on your 203K project? You might be able to. There's a couple issues. One, do you have the time to do it? I know that my dad, growing up, we had a house with a faulty heat exchanger, and every time the furnace would come on, that heat exchanger would go bang, bang, as the heat exchanger got warm, and it started heating that heat exchanger up, and it would just make a terrible sound like somebody hitting it with a hammer. And that was a faulty thing. It was harmful to all of us that lived in that house. But Dad was a sheet metal contractor, and he's not going to fix that thing, apparently, until we die, which we didn't, luckily, and or until he sells it, he'll fix it then. But those kind of things should be fixed. And if you are that kind of contractor, will you be putting your job off for jobs that pay you? Do you think you're really going to have time to do this project? You got to convince your consultant that you do, and you got to be. Most lenders will require you to be a licensed contractor, licensed in the state your home is. So the real question is, should you do the work yourself on a 203K project? And the answer is no. You wouldn't believe how many homeowners think they can do a job just as good as a contractor. Even the ones that are contractors. If you're going to be doing the work yourself, you cannot pay or get paid for your labor. So everything's going to be done with a a handyman crew that you don't know? Now, if you're a licensed contractor, you got your own crew. Are you going to take them off of work and pay them out of your pocket for the work that they're going to be doing on your house that you're not going to pay for? There's just a lot of reasons you don't want to do that. What happens, like in one case we have right now, that's the owner is holding up the completion of their own project by not telling us what they had in mind. What started out to be a simple project was delayed over and over again when the borrowers decided to remove all of the drywall in one of their units. Oh, let's just replace all this drywall. It's been patched so many times it looks like heck. But nobody said that ahead of time, so the lender doesn't have to pay for it. It doesn't ever have to show up on a change order because it has to be done up front in advance and a bid come in on it. That didn't happen. So if you want to do your own project, you want it to go smoothly, be honest. Don't provide changes in the scope after it closes escrow, regardless if you're a contractor or not. Stay out of the contractor's way. Don't move all your stuff into the house if we're going to be putting new floor coverings in. You know, most 203Ks go very smoothly, but it does if the contractor and the homeowner reach agreement on several things. Don't move into the house until I finish my work. That's the biggest one. Everybody wants to move their stuff in, get it out of storage, so they can stop paying that $45 a month or whatever it might be. Wow. In one case, the homeowner brought everything into the garage. Contractor thought that would be safe, but when he pulled the roof off the house, it was a wood shake roof underneath. So it had skip sheathing. And when he put the new roof on there, they dropped garbage and crap through that and fell into her baby's toys. And it was just a nightmare. His insurance covered everything, but it was a nightmare to go through it. So if you're planning a renovation project, plan to be out of the house until the work is complete. Don't bring stuff into the garage. That particular homeowner was a nightmare to work with in the first place. She wanted everything exactly perfect, exactly every second of every minute of every day. The garage, she had, I specified a day and night furnace. And day and night is made by Carrier. They make Bryant day and night, half a dozen other brands. But they're all made on exactly the same assembly line. And when the product goes out to be installed to the sheet metal contractor, heating and air conditioning contractor, he's supposed to take the nameplates of the one he bought and push it and put it onto that furnace. But he could have picked any one of those nameplates. When she saw the Carrier nameplate that he, in his haste, put on that furnace, When she realized that, she says, no, day and night was specified. I want to see a day and night furnace in there, and I don't want you just changing a name tag. I want this one ripped out, take it out of here, but leave it here until you get the new one installed. I want to see that it isn't this one. Nightmare. So, anyway, just keep that in mind, and you're getting these 203Ks. Contractors need to be assertive and make sure that the homeowner understands they can't move in until his work is done. If you're going to be painting, wouldn't you? And don't let the homeowner do part of it. The homeowner is going to bring materials and try to save your markup on the materials. Well, go ahead. If you're a fool, go ahead and do that. I don't think many contractors are fools more than once. But I see them doing this all the time. All right, you go get the materials. I won't put a markup on it. You pay for them in advance. You bring them here. And hopefully they're going to save money. Well, that means the contractor's not going to get the markup that he had planned to on that material, on those materials. And that could be substantial. That's going to hurt his pocketbook. So some contractors will say, sure, but we're not giving up our markup. Our markup was 20%, so we're going to keep 20% of that money, and the rest we'll pay to you. Well, that's not supposed to happen because the homeowner can't get paid for their labor. Now, if it's materials, then you might get away with it. In any case, let's go on to the next topic, which was the fastest way to close a 203K is using a team. I was giving a talk one time, and in the audience, somebody raised their hand and said, you know what? You're talking about all this teamwork and everything. I closed a 203K in 1968. It closed in 30 days. And I said, well, I can tell you something about that closing. You had a lender that knew what the heck they were doing and stayed out of the consultant's way. You had a consultant. Maybe not. There wasn't any then. But you had somebody that was directing traffic and got this thing to closing fast for you. And the gal said, yes, absolutely. Everybody that was working there, the contractor had done these before. Remember the 203K started in 1961. 1968, there were some renovations to the program. I don't mean that as a pun. There were some changes to the program in 1968 to make it more user-friendly. But consultants weren't created until 1994. So if you've got somebody that says you've been doing it since 1961, then I would question the truthfulness there. I received a call from a home buyer the other day. Let's see, she asked for some assistance on her 203K process. Turns out the lender was doing her first 203Ks and chose a consultant who was just getting started and had no clue as to what he is going to provide. And, of course, the borrower was doing their first 203K. Well, what's wrong with that picture? You have the blind leading the blind. Absolutely nobody in this transaction understands or knows what to do with the 203K. They've all had their education. They've all taken their class. It should be pretty obvious to everyone by the title of this post. Well, everyone starts with their first step. So you're not going to have an experienced team on every 203K. But if you're not experienced, get people on your team that are. The lender should have looked and hooked up with a proven team since they were new. The consultant didn't want to turn work down, but could have called a seasoned consultant and offered a portion of the fee to gain some on-the-job training. I know our team does that in the interest of serving the client and lender more effectively. Mike Young team's been around since 1994, helping owners and lenders get their 203K projects closed faster. We were able to assist and put the paperwork in order for the project, help get the loan closed, and no, we did not take a fee. It isn't about us. It's about the client getting what they expect. Give us a try. If you have a problem closing your 203K and feel free to call us and tell us what it is. Maybe we can put you back on track pretty fast. And anyway, I remember doing one for a lady. I was speaking at her company, and she didn't know I was coming. It was 7 o'clock in the morning when I started to talk. Everybody in the room was talking to each other, and nobody was paying attention to me when they introduced me. So I asked her if she was in the room, and she just happened to be sitting right in front of me, and I said, I've never seen you except in pictures where your hair was blonde. Today it's brown. Shouldn't do that to old people. But she was funny. I got her attention. I got everybody's attention when I asked their number one salesperson in their company if she was there. And then I said, hi, I'm Mike Young. She stood up, walked up to me, planted a kiss on my cheek, and hugged me. And sat back down, but that had got everybody's attention in the room. I was giving a seminar, and now I had their undivided attention. And I said, you know why she greeted me that way, never having seen me before? Because I helped her close her first 203K in 30 days with a brand new consultant. She was a brand new realtor doing her first 203K, but she got off on the right foot. You know, she called a consultant I had just trained. He was doing his first one. So it was no problem for me to get in there and help him close that loan. And she closed it in 30 days. She was tickled with that. But hey, if you want to be part of the show today, call us at 888-627-6008. Be part of the show. We appreciate it. We think the show is much more interesting when we have comments and questions from the audience. But stay tuned. We're going to be right back after this short break.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Hey, welcome back. Let's get right back into it. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. We'd love to hear from you. So getting back into it, 203K loan, excuse me, loan limits. I shouldn't have had that chip. Anyway, 203K loan limits don't go high enough for my neighborhood. We get that all the time. A few years ago, I was sitting in my office when it was in Oliver Road in Fairfield, California, and I walked up a few doors to Bartels Realty and talked to the gal who was on the desk, bored stiff, and I asked her if how many 203K she's done, and she said, I don't do FHA because the loan limits are so low we can't do them in this county. I said, you're kidding. They were up to, actually, she thought they didn't go over 200,000. I showed her where they actually went to 563,000, and she was blown away. So what happens is you hear something from somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about, and you believe it, and then you adjust your business to their false narrative. Not a good thing. So anyway. That is the harsh reality in many neighborhoods. What then? The answer may shock you, but if your houses are selling for $1 million to $3 million or more, how about $4 million, up to $4 million? All is good with another renovation product that's available in our group of consultants are ready for that as well. This is just another reason you should come to a chosen team. Choose a team, rather, that help close your loans faster. I know in Ocean County, New Jersey, with Hurricane Sandy, a lot of homes were built right on the ocean and right at the ground level, and they were blown off. All that's there is the foundations. And now the new rules say they have to be built on stilts. And this is a pretty expensive area to live in. But stilts is not a new concept, and you can certainly do it if you have the money to do it. So these houses are certainly selling in the right price range for you to get one of these loans. So if you got to come up with $1 million up to $4 million, say you buy a house and all the repairs and the house itself got a total $4 million, we have a loan for that. I've got at least two lenders that I know of, and maybe some more. Last time I talked to one of them, the interest rate was much lower than typical construction loans. Yeah, you got to have good credit. You got to have a bank account in their bank. But they'll go up to $3 million loan amount. That's a $4 million house with 25% down. Yeah, 25% down sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't. It isn't for investors. It isn't for people that are buying $4 million houses. Okay, we had one in Sacramento County, Fair Oaks, California, that was $888,000. Well, the loan limit there was only about, I think it was $465,000 or $565,000, something like that. So what happened is the guy was smart. He owned a bunch of fast food outlets and so forth, McDonald's and Burger King's and whatnot. He got a little bit of everything. But he didn't want to tie all of his cash up. He could have just paid $888,000 cash and fix the house up for $150, which is what was happening, or get a loan for $500,000 and only tie half of his cash up. And that's what he chose to do. A very smart move on his part. Well, some of these loans that go up to $3 million loan amount can work just like that for him. So whether you're in Garrett Feist, if you're listening, that might be the solution to your dilemma down there in Florida where you're working on all those houses that were destroyed in the last hurricane there. So these loans go up to $3 million. And I can't press upon you, they're at a low interest rate too, much lower than FHA. Now, when I say much lower, I'm not talking a quarter point. I'm talking much lower. And since I am not a lender and I don't quote rates, I'm not going to give a rate. But if you want to call me, I'll tell you what the lender is so you can get something set up in your neck of the woods. These loans are made all over the United States. I know this one lender I'm thinking of in particular was in about 30 states, and they said that by the end of that year, 3 years ago, they would be in all states. So I'm assuming they're in all states now. So we put you in touch with those people. If you're a consultant, you can consult for these things. It actually makes the lender feel better when they have someone on their side out there on the job site, making sure everything's going in as it should be. Okay, let's see here. There's another 203K, which was common, a common statement from my wife. Oh, I got it. Oh, there's another 203K. As we would drive by an area and see these houses that were in bad shape, she would always point them out. You know, they might be boarded up or they might have a piece of tarp over the roof because it leaks. There's another 203K. Why is it so hard for realtors, people in the business, to see those diamonds in the rough? So they're perfectly good to go. I mean, if you see a house, I know most of us have passed a house that's sitting on the foundation and the flooring is in and the subfloor is in, but there's no framing yet. And it just seems to have been sitting there like that for years. Well, if there was ever a house on that lot before, then this could be a 203K. And you've just sold something that nobody else could sell. You just help a client that nobody else could help. So what do you have to do to ensure you don't run into issues with your project? Easy. Use the team approach. I just heard a project. I heard of a project from a client where the lender was doing the first 203K. They hired a new consultant and a new contractor, and everything went smooth because they knew they were going in naked. They knew they were going in and needed help, so they hired someone who has done it before to get in there and walk them through step by step. We're happy to help new consultants if they're doing their first 203K and everything is going wrong. We'll help you get it back on track and show you what you need to do to make them fly smoother in the future. Okay. FHA is just another renovation loan was a comment that was made to me the other day. It works a lot like the home style. You could reverse that. The Fannie Mae home style is just another renovation, and it works like the 203K. What is the major difference? Well, simply PMI, private mortgage insurance. If you have a good credit, if you have good credit and you're putting 20% down, there's no reason for you to pay private mortgage insurance. And with the Fannie Mae product, you don't have to. 203K, you do for the term of the loan. Yikes. Okay, how much is that insurance? It's 0.85%. 0.85%. So that's a lot of money to pay out every year, year after year. So most people will get their 203K done because their credit may be a little iffy, and get it finished, and once it's finished, they'll refinance you into a conventional loan at a lower interest rate. Because typically, construction loans carry about a half a point extra interest because the extra problems they're going to have, or could potentially have. So if you don't have any problems, they just made more money on you than you would have otherwise. So before you tell your client to get into a home with as little money as possible, think about that and your liability as a realtor. Don't tell them to get in as low as possible. You're going to refinance once the work is done. So get in there and put a 20% contingency. That's what we recommend on all of them. Do we get it? No, we don't get it. We're doing one now where a slab is all that was left. That's 15% contingency because the water's not on, the electric's not on. So we have to go minimum 15%, and I love it. I think it should be 20% on everything just to make sure these things go smoothly and you don't run out of money at the last time, at the last chance, the last turn in the road, okay? Realtors are selling a house, and you can look at the roof, and you can see it's older, and you get some appraiser to say, oh, this is a 203B, and I say that's got 2 years left. Well, if it leaks this year, guess who gets sued? Not the appraiser, the realtor. Because you stuck them in there, and you told that appraiser, you got to say this has got a two-year life. Why not turn it into a limited 203K and put a new roof on it? Then if it leaks, it's the contractor's problem. Certainly not your problem. But going into these things with as absolutely lowest possible amount of money is not the way to go. When your client decides to use a renovation loan, I would encourage them, if they can afford it, to get the work done by someone else, all of the work. Don't become a slave to that house. Don't spend every waking moment living on a construction site. Let the pros repair your house. Do what you do best and what makes your income. Okay? So, we'll be right back. I'm going to talk about doing 203Ks in snow country here pretty quick. So if you want to be part of the show, you can call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.
We've been looking for a home in a great neighborhood, but they're all too small. Then we heard about the FHA 203K loan program, where we can add a room or two when we purchase and get a single loan to cover both the purchase and the room addition. What a great idea!
Many areas of the country get a little bit of snow from time to time, which makes the 203K a little difficult. How do you check the roof? You know, and you just don't know. And when you're under 2 or 3 feet of snow, is the grading good? This makes things a little tough. I was living in North Carolina and doing a project. I passed by it many times, maybe 200 times on my way to work and other projects, over a period of a couple of years. And I watched this home in need of repair, and every time I went by, it stood out like a sore thumb to me. My wife would always point it out. There's another 203K. Why doesn't anybody fix it up? Well, there's many people out there that don't understand renovation loans, and if they do, there's another group of realtors that say irresponsible things like, stay away from the 203K. It takes forever to close the loan. That's not true. You can close a 203K as fast as you can close a 203B. Wow, that's quite a statement. I remember a lender that we were doing business with in Columbia, South Carolina, and she indicated that she could close a 203B in 15 days in her sleep. She really could do that. She knew them inside and out. And I say, well, there's really no reason it should take any longer to close a 203K if you have a team and you can get the people working as a team. And so she took her first 203K on and we closed it in 21 days. 21 days. She had never closed another one. This was her very first one. And wow, she called me up and says, why are all these other lenders saying it takes so long to close them, 45 to 60 days? And I said, well, if it's like Bank of America, We used to have one of the loan officers as a hot dog, and he was get these things ready to close in 30 days. And Bank of America's policy said, no, you can't do it. We'll close in 45 days. We don't want you to set an expectation of 30 days. And that's what you'll do if you start closing these things in 30 days. And isn't that sad? Hell with the customer. We're going to give these guys what we want to give them, whether they want it or not, and whether they want to close fast or not makes no difference. So I'm glad that B of A got out of it. Maybe that's why they got out of it. They couldn't close within 45 to 60 days, even when they could. Anyway, so if you understand the animal a little bit and get the right parties in the right place at the right time, you're good. I've got lenders right now that are coaching their clients and what do you call those correspondent lenders? Get your contractor's bid first. Get out there, get that contractor out there, let him get a bid together. And what they're doing is they're thinking that they're cutting their time because their time doesn't start until they get that contractor's bid. Well, I take about 4 days to put a bid together, depending on the size of it. But I did a $450,000 project or $500,000 project. I usually take about 4 or 5 days. Contractors usually take 4 or 5 weeks. So you're letting 4 or 5 weeks go by with the contractor putting his bid together. Then you get all the loan paperwork together, and all you need is a consultant to sign off. Well, that's not what consultants do. They don't just sign off. And if they do, they're going to get caught sooner or later. So it should be the consultant gets out there first, creates the scope of work, and gives you a bid. Then it goes out to bid to contractors. That way the homeowner is best informed. This job should cost about this amount. Now, if your contractor comes in and beats the number, that's fine. I find it a little difficult to believe they're going to beat the number, but sometimes they do. They beat it by 5%. Everything's fine. They've got 20% in there. So maybe their overhead is a little lower than somebody else's. But either way, you don't want to get caught in that trap. Fastest way to close a 203K is through one of our teams. Whether it's one of our teams or somebody else's team, as long as it's a team of experienced people, that's what counts. When I say one of our teams, I mean one of the many 203K consultant teams out there, not just my team, Mike Young teams. All the teams are out there. There's a bunch of us out there. We can tell you who can actually close the loans fast and who just is a bunch of talk. So back to the snow. Finally, one day I got a call, and it was that house that we've been looking at all those years, for a couple years now. But it was under 6 to 9 inches of snow now. Describe the driveway in its condition. Slush. What about the roof type and condition and so forth? Luckily, I had snapped a picture of that house on one of my trips by it, and I had that picture to go by, and I could see what the stuff was like from the road. I was just taking the picture for a blog post. Okay. There was a well in a septic system. I couldn't even find the septic system, which is typical. It takes a septic inspection to do that. And here this is under 6 to 9 inches of snow. The following week was under 1.5 feet of snow. So it just depends, okay? So you got a well and a septic system you need to check out and have tested. They still have to do that. Every FHA requires a well test and a septic test, if they have those items. It was a good challenge to me, but luckily my wife and me had stopped a few months before and I got a photo of that house in its present condition. Now, it wasn't perfect. It didn't help me, but it did help me know if the grading appeared right from the street, so forth. That knowledge with my walk around was able to come up with a report. Inside, though, thought you'd never ask. Inside, there was no snow, thank goodness. But one of the bedrooms was taped off with a caution tape. And looking into the room from the floor, from the door, the floor had dropped about 2 feet. There was a 48-inch crawl space height under the house. So I climbed under there. some of the rim joists had given up, as well as sill plates, two sides of the room, exterior walls. I wondered what I was doing under this house. Okay. What happens is some floor joists had rotted out and given way, and the floor had dropped a couple of feet. I couldn't even feel safe walking over the tape or under the tape and walking into that room. There's no reason to walk into that room, so I did it from underneath. I wanted to see what was holding it up. Anyway, so that's the fun part of this job. Home inspectors, next question. As home inspectors and 203K consultants quite often get told this, I need my report back tomorrow. We close in 45 days. Well, if you close in 45 days, why do you need this report back tomorrow? I always get suspicious when somebody says, here, I got a contractor's bid, and I need your report back tomorrow. I say, what does that have to do with anything? I still have to do my due diligence as a consultant, so we still have to inspect the house. And we may find things that aren't on your contractor's bid, which is quite often what happens. I had a client the other day that sent us one out. Let's see, this one came out yesterday. Client wanted us to see it. They didn't want us to see it till next Friday, a week away. Now, that's really unusual. The lender wanted it sooner. So he set it up for a Saturday inspection to appease the client. This afternoon, I get an email from the lender saying they need to finish the write-up by Monday or Tuesday. Now, they had just told me they didn't need it for a week. What changed? Well, they were trying to hide some work that they were doing to the house so that I couldn't see it, disguise it. You don't want the consultant to see this, or he'll call for a further inspection, or he'll get in there and inspect it further and find out that it needs to be fixed in a different way. But it's funny how everybody else gets to start their job 45 days ago, and you wonder why it takes them 45 days to close some 203 case. Well, that's it in a nutshell. They don't let the team run down the field at the same time. They hold the quarterback off the side and let the team get out there and play ball for a little while, and then they say, okay, quarterback, get in there and finish this up. You got a day. That is not the way it goes. And if you're doing that, if you're a consultant, you've caught that trap, it will bite you someday. Literally bite you someday. Well, we had this one job that had nearly $300,000 worth of work, and the contractor took a month or two to put his bid together. We need to see it Saturday, and by Monday or Tuesday, I must have it completed. Well, it's possible if I wasn't running a business. If I didn't have other jobs on Monday and Tuesday that I had to see, already appointments made. We have to do our due diligence. We're not exempt from that. Funny how everyone else got their jobs started 45 to 60 days ago, and they expect ours. Hey, Mike, you don't need to do due diligence. We've already done all that. Well, it doesn't work that way. Work with a team. Make sure that the team is playing together at the same time. Don't wait till you're on the one-yard line and then tell the team members that they're holding up progress due to the closing. It just isn't so. It's the stupidity of your loan officer. I'm glad I don't work with any of those anymore. Had to tell one of those to go pound sand. I didn't want his business. Be sure that your team is fully in place and working on your project with the same time and the same. These loans can close in as little as 21 to 30 days regularly. Okay. Next question. What can I do if my appraisal comes in too low? Well, there's three things that might be happening. One, you may be paying too much for the property. Renegotiate the price. So if your appraisal comes in too low, that may be the situation. The seller is looking at the house as being similar to all the other sales of that model in the neighborhood. Well, it isn't. It needs work when the other ones were all fixed up. So if your realtor that listed that house doesn't educate the seller to that point, then you're going to be working between a rock and a hard place. If it's less than 10% low, or up to 10% low, you can use a feature of the 203K and just flip this into a limited 203K, fix some things in it, and you get a 10% bump on the appraisal. We had one the other day that was a Fannie Mae home style loan, and the appraisal came in 10% low. Well, change it to a 203K, limited 203K, and fix something, and you get 10% jump. So if that's possible, you can do that. Or reach new middle ground. Renegotiate the sales price. You may have to come up with a little bit more down payment. But any of these are viable solutions to the issue. What happens if the seller won't budge on their sales price? Well, that's a real problem. You can't negotiate or renegotiate with idiots. They've been told somewhere along the way that this house is worth X number of dollars, and they are not going to take a penny less. Well, they shouldn't have been told that. Until you have the appraisal, you don't know what that house is worth. And it's funny that an appraiser can't talk about value, even in a party situation, about a hypothetical situation. But realtors can all day, every day. Oh, gosh, yes, that's worth $300,000. No problem. I can get you that. When they know well they can't. They know very well they can't. What they can get is about $290, $285. But they say that so they can get that listing. They want that listing. That way they get paid whether they sell it or somebody else sell it. Okay. The seller may not have any sense of the reality of the situation. Their broker failed to school them in the real value of the property. Possibly they weren't aware that the issues have surrounded the property. Many times a seller knows exactly what's wrong with their property, but sometimes they don't. You know, if you've ignored or deferred maintenance for 20 or 30 years, and now you expect the same price for your house if somebody sold it next door and theirs was all fixed up or had much better upkeep over those years, they need to deliver the property in a safe condition to adjust the price to make it safe, or to adjust the price, rather, and to make it safe. If they weren't aware of the issues, they should have been. Now, sometimes they inherit a property, or somebody in the family dies and they sell the property, and they don't. And some of the heirs think the property is worth more than it really is, and they get in the way. I know I was negotiating for a property a long time ago with a trustee of a trust, and he became a very close friend of mine for years until he passed. But anyway, he and I were negotiating, and he called for a meeting, walked in there, and I said, this is what we're going to pay. And he says, that sounds fair. And he brought with him one of the heirs to the money that was going to come from that building, from that property. So what they did is they said, no, I think we should get more than that. And the other thing, we should get a lot more. And she started negotiating. So I stood up and I looked at him. I said, I thought we were negotiating this. I don't know who this is. That's when he introduced more about who she is and that she was an heir. I said, fine, when you guys decide what it's worth, let me know and we'll set this down again and have it. She shouldn't be here unless you don't have the authority to do what you said you did as the trustee. And I started to walk out the room, and he says, get back here and sit down. And he looked at the lady and said, you shut up. Sit here and listen. And we negotiated the price, and he accepted the first offer I threw out there. But in case you think that a 203K takes longer to close than a standard 203B, you'd be wrong. Okay. Lenders say that because they don't understand the process, and they are making a few extra days, maybe 15 to 30 extra days, to allow for their stupidity or their ignorance or their lack of knowledge. I don't mean to be demeaning to them, but if they are going to get into 203K, there's a big market there for houses that need renovation of some sort. They shouldn't be afraid of those things, but they do need to do their homework and learn about them. Now, if you are a realtor listening today, then and you would like to know more about it, I wrote a book about 5-6 years ago on the 203K. I will send it to you for free. Absolutely no cost to you. I'm even going to pay the freight or the shipping on that book. But you got to be a realtor, and I've got to be able to verify that. It'll tell you exactly how to form your team, who should be on your team, and how to go about this process and get these things closed lickety-split. Okay. Now, we're going to take our last break of the day. So if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about draw inspections when we come back. Stay with us.
We found the perfect house, but there's been no updating it for many years. Then we heard about the FHA 203K, where we can buy that home and get the money to fix it up all in one low interest rate loan. What a great idea.
Draw inspections. Welcome back, by the way. If you want to be part of the show, give us a call. What's that number? Oh, it is 888-627-6008. I'm glad you stayed with us. We're going to talk a little bit about draw inspections. Draw inspections for 203Ks have always made me wonder what's going through the minds of the contractors who ask for the money when they know the work isn't completed. We had one in Oakland, California, years ago. It was raining the day I went out to inspect it, but it was light rain. This house had been fire gutted. The entire roof had been ripped off, and the ceiling joists were there, but most of them were charred and half there, and you could see sky above, and the rain gently falling on your face. Carpet was on the floor. It was seemed to be maybe 3 layers of carpet. Instead of taking the carpet up when it got old, they just covered it up with some more carpet, so make it nice and soft, I guess. But what happened was this guy across the street was a contractor, and he was buying this house himself and going to do the work. Nice, nice man. Down to earth. Anyway, he was... no problem. He closed escrow, and 2 days went by, and he calls me up, and he says, hey, ready for my first draw. Got the roof up there. It is beautiful. I said, you mean to tell me you built the trusses, put the plywood up, put the tar paper, put the shingles, and everything is up, and it's finished? The roof is ready to be paid? He says, well, sure, I had to do that because it was raining. I had to do the roof first. Now I can clean the house out and not get all rained on. I said, well, I'm not arguing with your thinking, but I just don't believe you did that. I find it hard to believe you did that. Excuse me. He assured me that he lived across the street, and he was a contractor, and as a self-help. So he got over there with his sons, and the first thing they did was get that roof ready to go. Please come out. And I said, I want you to understand something. If it's not done, you will not get paid. Do you understand that? He said, sure, I know, you told me that. I said, all right. So I drove out there to do a draw inspection. And I arrived, it looked exactly the way it did the day I went out there after the fire. Totally open to the sky. He then explained that he thought if I could see you face to face and you could look into my eyes, that you'd give me some money so I can go get the materials. And all I could say was, unbelievable. I told you that I wasn't going to pay you if it wasn't done. I mean, even if you'd taken something off, some of that charred wood, if you'd got rid of it, then I could have paid you something. But you didn't do anything and expected me to give you money up front. So, of course, he did not get it. He was a nice guy. He didn't get upset. He just figured wrong. But consultant went out there to do a draw. I could not have got paid if I'd have told him all that before I had him sign the paper. So I had filled it. I just penciled in in column three. He wanted paid for the roof. I had him sign where he's supposed to sign as the homeowner and as the contractor. Sign his lien waiver. And then I went over and put a line through that item and wrote in column four, zero. That's the only way the consultant's going to get paid for that inspection, the inspector. Remember, the consultant has two hats. The first hat he leaves on until it closes escrow. The second hat is an inspector. First hat is a consultant where you kind of advocate for the client. You're trying to help them put this together with their help, put the whole plan together. And that's great. That's the way it should be. Now that it's together, the loan closes, now you take that hat off. You're no longer working for the client. You're working for the lender in HUD. So it's your responsibility to see the work it's done in a workmanlike, a professional workmanlike manner. All right, so on another deal, I was called out for the completion of handrails on a deck. Now, this was a dock and a deck. So they put the deck up, and then you took five steps down, and then started walking out on this boardwalk to a dock that was out there. It was all very good, except there was no handrail at the steps from the deck, walking down five steps, one, two, three, four, five steps to the boardwalk. There was no handrail. And I said, well, I can't pay 100% of this. He said, well, I've already paid for the material, and they'll deliver it in a couple weeks. It's on order. They still wanted to get paid for it since they purchased it in advance. Well, if you purchase stuff in advance and you set it up now under the current guideline, you can actually get paid for the materials when you have a contract to be delivered at a later date. But this wasn't the case when this man did this project. Another thing is he put in a lawn. They planted a sod lawn as part of the erosion control of this project. And it was the finest lawn you ever met. It looked like a golf green. It was beautiful and smooth. Wow. I said, man, you could pop a couple of holes in there and have your little putting green here. He said, yeah, I could. But anyway, he wasn't going to do that. I came out about three draws later, and that perfectly smooth thing had little balls and clumps all through it. It looked almost like mushrooms were coming up underneath it and pushing it up. It was terrible. But he says, now you know it's not a putting green. Yes, I do. Another one we had not recently, but over the years we've had these come pretty readily. We've got all the doors in and we want to get paid, and yet there's doorknobs missing. Doorknobs are part of the door installation. At least they are when we write it up. So we're taking pictures, and I got two doors, one side by side. Shoot the picture. One has a doorknob. One doesn't have a doorknob. And we undercut it. But a word of caution to consultants around the country. When you're doing a draw inspection, you want to be sure I got distracted. Sorry about that. I got a 3.5-pound dog that just had an operation, and she's peering at me. Go away, dog. You bother me. Anyway, so they can ask for anything. Let them fill out column three and sign the document. Only when it's signed do I go inspect. Because until it's signed and they sign the lien waiver, I don't regard it as a draw request. What will happen one day, sooner or later, if you don't do it that way, and they fill out column three, and then you walk around and inspect before you have their signature, is they may just say, well, hell, there's not enough here now. Get out of here. I'll call you back in a week or two. And you haven't got a signed paper that says you were there. So young consultants everywhere, and keep that handwritten one. Don't go back to your office and retype everything nice and neat and run it back out there. You don't get paid to go out there twice. So fill it out by hand, column three, have them sign it, and use that. And if you have to put a line through anything and write in column four what it does, you can change that page and fix it so it's pristine for what you're turning into the lender. But keep that in your file because that's your proof that you did not pay for something that wasn't done. If you ever get sued, and I don't think you will, but if you ever do, we were sued four times in 1994 and not since, knock on wood. But what we expect is we when the judge saw that, this where I had lined out an item and paid less, he changed his whole tone and told the client, he says, looks like you were asking for things that weren't done, for pay on things that weren't done. And Mr. Young did his job. Mr. Young's dismissed. Boom. And I'll give you a word to the wise. Don't come in here lying to me. So the judge, he picked up very quickly on what was happening. It seemed like a small thing, but HUD has in the guideline or somewhere in there, it says if you pay as a consultant pays for something they know is not complete, you're out of business with no recourse. There's no coming back and pleading your case. There's no case to plead. You're no longer a consultant. I know years ago I had a guy that was paying for a furnace. It was sitting there. It hadn't been installed yet, and he paid for it. I, as his boss, I walked in on that draw after he left. And when I noticed that he paid for that furnace and it wasn't installed yet, I gave him a warning. When I caught him the second time, I fired him. I got a phone call from HUD a couple weeks later and said, why did you fire Ed? And I said, he's my employee and I'll fire who I want without recourse and without having to tell you why I do that. And HUD says, hey, hold on. We just took him off the list and I'd like to know why you did. I said, because we have a program where I follow up behind these guys to be sure they're not paying things that aren't done. And he says, that's what I hoped you'd say. And not only do you find it, you corrected it. And when it didn't get corrected, you fired him. Now, that gives us some extra confidence in the Mike Young team. So we always had somebody checking at least one draw on every 203K. Now, I've been told that you can't do that today. You have to do all the draws on your project. But that's not always been the case. And when HUD told me I could have that quality control, I thought it was a good thing. And I still do. But in any case, thank you all for being here. We do appreciate your listening. Join us next Sunday, 1 to 2 p.m. Now, I will be on vacation playing reruns from the 28th of February through the 15th of March. So join us. Anyway, you'll hear some things you probably haven't heard before. So thanks for being with us today. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you love? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.